You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am delighted to welcome you and delighted to welcome our guest today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Good morning to everyone. My name is Colin Jones, and I am the pastor of the Advent United Church of Christ Church right here in Columbus, Ohio.
I am thrilled that you've joined us today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Always. We're always delighted to have you here. What's on your heart today?
Well, you know, there are many different things that's on my heart. One of the most pressing things that is not only on my heart, but it's on everyone's soul, I think, is the verdict for George Floyd. Mm. That has been, you know, something that has been undergoing for the past year, and we have been waiting in great anticipation and with expectation for this moment. And a moment, I did not expect the result that came. I'm grateful for the result that came, but you know, we can get more into it later. It was still a result that I was not anticipating.
Well, it seems like he called for his mama, and his mama came, and she brought some justice with her.
That's right. That's right. And how we need our mamas, you know, in times like these, mamas that know how to bring comfort in the midst of chaos, acceptance in the midst of a world that does not accept love. In the midst of a that seems to hate us so much, a place of being brought in a place where we seem to be rejected on every end. The precious love of a mother, and so grateful that justice has been served in this isolated situation.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I was thinking about something that my granddaddy said, or he used to say. He said that whenever you see an unjust situation that gets turned around right, he would say, I believe somebody in heaven has had a word with God.
My God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody in heaven mm-hmm. has had a word with God. We need your intervention in this moment, in this hour. Yes, absolutely. I'm in agreement with that.
I'm so relieved to hear your candor and your transparency when you say that you were somewhat surprised by the verdict that actually was handed down. I want you to help us with that, because there may be some people, we have friends listening all over the world, internationally. Well, why not? It was so obvious, right? I mean, this was an obvious guilty. This was an obvious murder. This was obvious, right? So why are we all a little bit, why were we all on pins and needles until we heard guilty three times in a row?
Absolutely. I think that history has proven repeatedly, especially when it comes to Black and brown people, History has proven that when it comes to law enforcement, judgment and is erred, and justice is erred on the lack of justice is erred on the side of police and law enforcement, that they are given the benefit of the doubt in every just about every situation, and even when you have video evidence, it still seems as if the verdict of not guilty or not even being charged or not even being indicted, even with video evidence, when it comes to law enforcement, it still errs on the side of those who are in power. And so just basing things on history, I was not optimistic in any way, shape, or form. It reminds me of the Dr. Cornel West and his conversation with Tavis Smiley around 13 years ago. He talks about having a blues-inflicted hope. That blues is rooted and grounded in pain. And it's a particular genre of music that has been created and born out of the African and African-American pain and history in this country. And so, yes, I did have a hope. Yes, I did have a wonder if this will happen, but history has proven otherwise. And we are still in the midst of, not only with George Floyd, but we are still very much in the midst of, right here in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm privileged to reside, Andre Hill. We're still in the midst of Casey Goodson Jr. So and now as of yesterday, another police involved shooting with Miss I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, Miss Makaya Bryant. So history has proven and has shown us that that even though you have video evidence, that it does not mean that that's going to equate to law enforcement being held accountable to the situation. And when I talk about history, I'm even going back to, the Emmett Till and all those kinds of situations, whether it's police or whether it's people who are in power. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the marginalized, that when you have a situation where police are involved, it just continues to prove over and over again that it is an uphill battle. Why is it that Black and brown people get excited at just the arrest of or just the indictment of a police officer? We're not even talking about the actual conviction, but we're excited about the indictment of a police officer. So when a plea comes back as guilty, it's like we can have a sense of relief, because this is unheard of. It just does not happen on any kind of consistent basis, from Florida to Washington, from Texas to Vermont, and all across the country. If there is a police-involved shooting, even with video, even with something that is so obvious, the likelihood of it going all the way to the end is very slim to none.
Yeah, wow. So what happens then? What does that do when it does go all the way to the end and the verdict does seem to reflect some justice? Is that healing? Is that good medicine?
It is a part of healing. It is a part of justice. However, as my wife and I will be preaching on this Sunday, that this is just one case. And healing ultimately takes place when you expose the problem and when you begin to provide treatment to that problem. Huh. And this is not just an isolated situation. This is something that happens repeatedly throughout the country. So for me, yes, we can celebrate and acknowledge a win in this isolated situation. But when we can tie all of these pieces together, and when African Americans and when Latino, when Black and Brown people begin to see that there is going to be justice in the land, then we can have a collective hope that yes, justice is for us. I approach the situation very timidly and take it case by case. And so when there is an overhaul, and when police officers who commit acts of violence towards nonviolent, or people who don't even have people who are unarmed, when they're sweeping justice across the land on a consistent basis, it is then when we can begin to talk about this is healing. Yes, this one situation plays a part in that. And we acknowledge and we affirm that and we applaud that. However, it is way too soon, in my estimation, to proclaim that that this is it. It's like that argument that was made many years ago when Barack Obama was elected president. Racism is over. No racism.
Oh my.
Just because we have elected an African American president. I mean, just a few weeks ago, right? An African American Latino brother who was in the army, I believe, he served in the military, and lieutenant. Right. He was pulled over, and there was a phrase that the officer who ended up pepper spraying him, there was something that he said that was chilling, and this needs to be exposed, is that the gentleman in the car, he said, honestly, I'm afraid to get out the car. Mm-hmm. And the police officer said what? He said, you should. Mm-hmm. Now that right there is absolutely chilling, and that is a part of a larger systemic problem that we are, that you should be afraid. And I wonder if all of this was not on video from his police cam, as well as from the took video himself, it would be his word against the others, and the majority of the country would side on the police. So yes. This situation in reference to George Floyd, in my estimation, it is a part of that healing. But before we can really talk about this healing and moving forward as a community, it needs to be justice, not only in this situation, but it needs to be something that is sweeping across the board before I personally can have a sense of confidence that when a police officer uses excessive force, especially when the victim is someone who is unarmed, then I can have a degree of confidence. I mean, just a couple of days ago, right? There was an officer who shot a young man who said that she meant to use her taser instead of her firearm. She killed that man. But been on the police force for what, 26 years, a veteran of the force. Let us see what happens to her. She was given the opportunity to resign instead of being fired. Now, I know, and you know, that if you make a grave mistake on your job, that is not inclusive of someone losing their life,
right?
But if you make grave mistake on your job, you will be fired immediately. And yet here we have a scenario where she was allowed to resign. Now there are barricades put around her house to protect her when she was the one who actually killed somebody. Is there going to be justice beyond she resigned? So when it comes to these situations, when I begin to see police officers who are consistently, because they are held to a higher level of accountability, we should make sure that the flip side is true, that they are held even more accountable. You know what I mean?
I do. I hear you. I hear you. And accountability saves lives in every situation.
Yes,
you know, I mean, you know, even in a hospital, they don't let a surgeon just go rogue. You know, they have accountability. They have a team of people and digital machines and all of these things. They don't just, you know, surgeons say, "Oh, I'm more comfortable with a drill than a scalpel." You know, people don't go, "Oh, well, that's great." No,
it seems as if, as you pointed out, and when it comes to practicing medicine, when it comes to being an educator, and it seems like in every sphere of life, in every occupation, there seems to be this overwhelming sense of accountability that if you do this or that, then you're done. Then that is over. But when it comes to law enforcement, it is something that is completely, completely different. I mean, even though it wasn't even brought out in the trial, but Derek Chauvin has had what was it, 18? Complaints filed against him. How many complaints does it take for one to have to take a serious look at his record and be like, okay, maybe this is not the job for you? So, and even in the case with Andre Hill, multiple complaints against the officer that ended up taking his life. So. When it comes to every other aspect of life, occupation of life, there are definitely consequences. But when it comes to law enforcement, you have the unions that will protect them at all costs, and then you have others that will protect them at all costs. And I just don't think that should be.
I wonder if Derek Chauvin had been held accountable for being part of the shooting of a Native American man, years before, if George Floyd would still be alive today.
That is a conclusion that is very reasonable. That is a conclusion that is very reasonable. If this was a black man doing, a black police officer doing the same to a white police officer, would we have the same conclusion? And even when we pull in the other police officers who were on the scene, at what point do they step in and are held accountable to witnessing, you know, such a tragic event as well? So perhaps if Derek Chauvin had done that to another to a Native American man, and the consequences came then, definitely will agree that George Floyd would still be alive today.
I do want to say every person that loved any of these victims, you know, the families, the friends, the communities, we are so very sorry for your loss. We are sorry. We're just sorry that this has happened, that this grief has entered your life. And we love you, and we ask God to comfort you, because these are terrible, terrible losses. But they're losses to all of us. They're losses to everyone who is caring and loving and good. And yet every day we have to somehow survive these headlines. You know, we've talked about what these horrible headlines are, but what do we do with them? I mean, we have, you know, every time you turn on the news, it's like, surprise, here is another nightmare. How do we keep our sanity, our health, our hope when we're surrounded by such evil at times?
You know, it's a very good question. The approach that I personally have taken, and I'm not necessarily advocating that, that a community takes this approach as well. But I personally have had to maintain a healthy distance from the headlines to protect my own emotions. Why? Because these headlines, and I'm going to use a very intentional word here, and that is trauma. Trauma is something that is deeply distressing. It is a deeply disturbing experience. It is a physical injury. It is a emotional injury. And these headlines for me have been very traumatic, and I experienced great pain as a result of hearing, you know, the news. Mm-hmm. And so I have to keep a healthy distance. I'm not ignorant of mm-hmm. which is taking place, because I don't believe that the solution of the problem is to duck your head in the sand either. But when I need to pull away to protect my own spiritual and emotional and physical well-being, I pull away. I can't just be involved nonstop all the time, because that will cause continue to mm-hmm. keep trauma upon myself. So I keep a healthy distance. You know, I was aware of what was going on with the George Floyd situation over this past year and a half. I dibbled and dabbled every now and then. But there are times when you just have to pull back, and you just have to take a break, and you have to focus in on what's meaningful for you, what's life-giving for you, and that is to delve totally and completely into, for me, my family, my ministry, my education, as I'm still currently pursuing, and still be aware of what's going on. And when I can contribute, I do. And when I can't, I choose not to. You know, we still have these conversations, not only in the church, but we have the conversations in the barbershop. So that keeps me aware, you know, of what's going on. I'm constantly, you know, it's funny that you said that, because even though you try to pull away, at the same time, it's very difficult to not be inundated. Everywhere you turn, it was my son, who's 14 years old. He was sharing with me about we were talking about how proud I was of him, of just being aware of, you know, the details about the election that just took place. And I was like, yeah, like, son, you need to read the news and blah, blah, blah. And he was telling me that he doesn't read the news. You know, he gets all of his information for the most part from, you know, social media and yes. TikTok mm-hmm. in particular. And he said, Daddy, it's kind of hard not to know and be aware of what's going on, because it's everywhere you turn, right? Mm-hmm. Everywhere mm-hmm. you turn. I recall when the O.J. Simpson trial had taken place. I mean, that was like one of the first major 24/7 news broadcast that was taking place, and from there it just kind of changed the news moving forward. And so we are constantly inundated. So there are times when I have to shut down social media, right? There are times when I have to just shut down reading the news on my apps and take my notifications off. That's how I kind of have to deal with these headlines that are constantly appearing all over the place, and continue to figure out ways in which that I can get involved and ways that I am not able to get involved, and empower other people to get involved as well. So going back to George Floyd for a moment, yes, we have the victory, but we have to continue the fight. We mm-hmm. have to continue to ensure that Black and brown people, that this continues to be limited and decreased in our communities. And as that continues to happen, more and more people can get the kind of healing that they so richly deserve.
Mm. One of our great Native American thinkers, John Trudell, said, protect your spirit, because we are in a place where spirits get eaten.
Wow.
And so yeah. I think I needed to hear what you said, because, you know, I started my career at CNN.
Did you?
And it was, 24/7, and we see the stuff that you don't see.
That's right.
Right? I mean, by the time we edit it and get it to you, so, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just sometimes it was just so horrific that, you know, like, wow. And that was one of the reasons I made a transition to a different kind of media. But I think that we have to give ourselves permission sometimes. Take a nap. Yeah. You know, eat some ice cream. I have lots of cartoon breaks now because we know the baby likes Paw Patrol, and we don't want him to see certain things on the news. And suddenly it's like, well, gotta watch cartoons for a while.
That is so absolutely vital to take a break to protect your spirit, to do something else. Just yesterday I'm in a doctoral program. And just yesterday, I passed my candidacy review.
Congratulations. So,
thank you very, very much. So there's still one major hurdle. Next year, I plan to graduate with my doctorate of ministry degree. But I had to defend my work up to this point. Mm-hmm. Up to this point, as you very well know, the process.
Oh, yeah.
And so defending my candidacy review was just I was in the hot seat for 90 minutes. But it's all good. And my project is called a paradigm shift.
Ooh.
It is a model to challenge clergy and congregations to adopt a holistic approach to health and wellness. And in one of my chapters, my fourth chapter, I wrote on a theological perspective on Sabbath, as seen through the lens of biblical scholar and theologian Walter Brueggemann, and placed him in conversation with his name escapes me at the moment. But I talk about Walter Brueggemann, Patrick Miller, excuse me, that's his name, placed him in conversation with Patrick Miller as it regards to Sabbath. And one of the things that Walter Brueggemann talks about is that Western culture is built on production and consumption, and that you have to pull yourself out of the rat race of life.
Mm-hmm.
That the very act of taking Sabbath is an act of resistance, and you have to pull away. You have to press pause on everything that's going on in your life. Now, you may not be able to take a full 24 hours. Like, what does Sabbath look like to me in a 21st century context? I'm a bivocational pastor. I'm in school full time. I'm married. I have children, and I have other hopes and goals and aspirations, et cetera. And so I may not be able to take a full 24 hours, but I ought to insert a consistent pause throughout my life. And so when it comes to protecting your spirit, when it comes to taking a break from tragedy and trauma, creative ways to just pull away from that. So, and one of the things that I have to, and I just mentioned it this morning to a good friend of mine as I was exercising, that when I get caught up in the busyness of life, there are other things that get pushed to the margins, and I can't do that. I have to maintain what is a priority for me and build everything else, you know, around that. So I have to make sure that I pull away and protect my spirit, and if that means that I am unavailable between these set of hours, then people who appreciate it, they will affirm it, and if those who don't, then it's all good. But I have to protect me so that I can be the best person that I can be, you know?
That's amazing. My granddaddy used to say that Sabbath was a chance to let God be God all by himself.
Yeah.
Because we're just resting. And, of course, in the South, we don't, you know, everything was closed. Nothing was happening.
Yeah.
You know, you're just, you know. around the house with your family, or, you know, church two times, morning and evening service. And it was a chance for God to be God, because you couldn't do anything else. You know, there's nothing for you to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wow. We are so blessed to be having such a thoughtful, wise, and insightful conversation with this dedicated man of God today. And we appreciate everything that's being shared. We have to go to break, but as we do, I do want to take a minute and thank those first responders and law enforcement officers who are doing well and are doing good and truly see it as a call and a mission to protect and serve. We're having a tough dialogue today, but we do appreciate all those of you who truly have good hearts to help others. We'll be right back.
Can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No. But you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
Supporting minority education. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. I'm here to tell you that as the mother of a high school senior, I know due to financial circumstances, many of America's deserving minority students do not have access to a college education. Since 1944, the United Negro College Fund has sought to provide one. Since 1972, the beginning of this campaign, UNCF has helped more than 300,000 talented students earn a college degree. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. Give a helping hand.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Let it be big, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once a war.
The microphone and flip the flavor for the Savior. Only your mother and your neighbor, the Father. There was no one greater than the Creator. As the Creator, the Mediator, and the Devil, not later. As a eater, now and later. Or a son eating a tot, or is it a tater? Let me take you. When I used to make her, my parents wish they didn't make you. Driving them crazy, praying to the Maker. I was such a faker. Slamming cats like a cat called Blaker. Sneaking out, partying past curfew, I would break her. Looking for females to date her. Snag. No, I'm not bragging. Mom yelled me, pants are too low, you're sagging. I look back now, back then I was laughing. Man, I was outlasting, rapping on my wasted past then. But back then, I thank my parents for the love, the everlasting. Contemplating or doing crimes, but those thoughts flow through my mind like wind chimes. I saw the sunshine when I married sunshine. My mom saying if I screw this up, it's my behind. Mom, I turned around, made you smile, not frown. I thought I was gonna drown. You pulled me up, not down.
We are blessed with wisdom. We are blessed with an amazing conversation today, and I'm so very thankful.
And Patrick Miller talks about how Sabbath is a gift from God to humanity. And it's a gift. It's not a burden. It's not a curse or anything like that, but pressing pause and being still and devoting time to reflection of how good God has been, you know, in your life, that is a gift to your body. It's a gift to your mind. It's a gift to your overall person, you know. Absolutely, I try to pull away from these headlines. I try to pull away from So that means I may get up a little bit earlier when everyone else is asleep. It may mean that I go to bed a little bit later when everyone is asleep. It may mean that, that before I go into the house, I sit in the driveway or in the garage just for a few moments to recollect myself, so that because I'm taking off one hat leaving work, and as soon as I enter into the house, I'm putting on another hat.
That's so
whatever it is that one has to do to be at peace with their world, it's important that you intentionally do that, because you have value, you have worth. In addition to your kids, in addition to your spouse, in addition to your partners, in addition to everything else that you have going on, you have to place yourself on top of that list. And you can, and that is the only way you can be the kind of person that you need to be for everyone else. You got to take care of yourself. You have to take care of you.
That's beautiful. One of the great ways to balance out all the negativity and the tragedy and the disappointment and the headlines is to have some good news. You know, my granddaddy used to say that you have to, trouble will find you, he would say.
Yeah.
You have to schedule your joy.
Yeah.
And to this day, we're celebrating family. You know, you can celebrate anything to balance it all out.
I had the privilege of serving in hospice for 6 years, and one of the questions that people, you know, asked me throughout those 6 years, whether in Columbus, Mansfield, and or Cleveland, where I served, is, you know, how do you do it? You know, you're surrounded by, you know, death and dying all the time, and there's a plethora of reasons, responses that I provided for them, but just for today's purposes. I don't listen to music very much, but I listen to comedy every day. When I learned that Pandora, and it's the same thing for Spotify, when I learned that not only will they play artists and songs that you insert into the search box, but they will also do the same thing for comedians. So while I was driving from nursing home to nursing home, and while I was driving from Columbus to Mansfield or Cleveland to Mansfield, et cetera, that I was listening to comedy every day, that I laugh every single day. I have my host of comedians, and even today, when I'm going somewhere, you know, I'm on YouTube and listening to comedians all the time. So I'm laughing so much and having a spirit of joy so much, and that is helpful to my overall person, you know what I mean? Because trauma and death and dying and headlines, it's a weight, right? It is a weight on our souls, on our minds, and it's hard to constantly live up underneath that pressure. And so when you are under that pressure, when you're working out and you're having a lot of weight on you, it's good to have a spotter, right? It's good to have someone that is right there with you that will catch the weight if you drop it. And so sometimes I've used comedy as a support, as a spotter in the midst of what I am pressing up, in the midst of what the weight that is on my shoulders, to help me in my time of struggle. It makes life just a little bit easier.
I love it. What a beautiful, beyond beautiful suggestion. What a great suggestion, because I think it does help us so much. I mean, when you have weights, you're going to need help to bear them, and it'll either be, you know, a spotter, as you say, someone who's on your side, or it'll become a crutch, or there'll be a crutch.
That's
so
right.
That is a beautiful way to look at it.
And there is nothing weak about having someone, having something to assist in carrying the weight. I speak more specifically, not necessarily more specifically, but I'm speaking to men, right? who feel, or those individuals, not necessarily making it about man or woman, but to those individuals who feel like they have to carry the weight themselves, that they have to bear that burden, and there's nothing weak about it. There's nothing. It doesn't make you less than of a man. It doesn't make you less than a woman to have a spotter, to have assistance, right? And something that provides assistance in a healthy way, right? I'm not talking about drinking your pain away, right? Mm-hmm. You hear those expressions all the time. If you had a rough day at work, oh, I need a drink, or I need to step out and get a smoke. No, because those types of things, when you look to outward circumstances or substances to provide that sense of support, it becomes that crutch, as you mentioned, and it actually becomes a harm to your physical body and a harm to your mind. So I'm saying to add something to your world that's going to provide assistance to you, that's going to prolong your life, right? Uh-huh. That's going to enhance the overall quality of life, that's going to bring something to you as opposed to taking something away from you. So when I say, when I suggest that having support, it ought to add to your overall well-being, because that is what's going to contribute to the longevity, the quality of your life. And more people will want to be around you because you're not going to be so mean, nappy, and all that kind of stuff, because you got someone, you got something to help you bear that weight. Taking a break, taking a mental day, taking something is all helpful to help you deal with life. You know what I mean? So imagine communities, imagine whole communities, imagine persons who are constantly living underneath that stress. And imagine individuals or communities that have lesser resources, right, that are constantly living underneath that stress and that burden. Imagine how their quality of life is. And so you want to deal with, so it's a socioeconomic impact as well to find a way to take a moment to just, you know, chill. I mean, there have been many people who have sought mental health professionals as a result of this COVID situation.
Absolutely.
Itself, right? Why? Because of the strain of not being connected to family, the strain of having a lack of financial resources because of unemployment, or the strain of this or that. And if you don't find a way to break that strain, you'll break, right? Mm-hmm. You'll fall. If you don't find somebody or something to provide that sense of support, then you will cave in, quit, and throw in the towel and cry out, no mas, no mas. And what you are advocating, what I am advocating, is for, and this platform, just by naming it and talking about it, plants the seed in people's souls and minds, and it waters, the seed is being watered as well. And we believe that God is going to bring forth that increase.
Amen. Amen. Everything you're saying is so rich and so wise, and I'm so thankful you're here to say it. And as a parent, I would love it if you would take a few minutes and help those of us who are parents and aunties and grandparents and godparents and play cousins and all those things, right, who have children. We have to help our children through these headlines and through the talk.
Yes. So what I have intentionally done when I am taking my son to swimming or taking him to CrossFit, or when I'm at work and I'm texting him, you know, what's going on? How you doing? You are aware of what's going on, because my wife and I, we have both encouraged our children to be aware of what's going on. Well, what is your perspective of what is going on? My wife, just yesterday, she woke my son up out of the sleep. He was taking a nap, he was taking a nap, and she woke him up to hear the verdict of the George Floyd situation, and he was quite bothered because the black man was asleep, right? He was waiting for the jury to come in and the judge to come in, and he had a bit of an attitude. And then when the judge walked in, boom, he snapped to attention, and he heard the verdict, and he was able to articulate his feeling right there in the moment to his mother, my wife, and he was able to share, you know, his feelings in the moment. And it's important to engage his perspective and affirm his perspective to let him know that you have a legitimate voice in this matter as well, that your perspective, your opinion is just as valid as my own. As a matter of fact, Colin, who is 14, and I have a 19-year-old daughter, and I have a 25-year-old son, that when you walk out the house, you're going to be faced with these situations in terms of your interactions with police. Colin, you're going to a majority, you know, white school, because we live in a suburban part of Columbus. So you're constantly being faced and bombarded with these. And so we have to be in a situation where we have to have the kind of connection and relationship where we are consistently processing these things out. Now, what does that mean for me? It means for me that I have to be creative as to how to have these kinds of conversations, right? Because I don't do it all the time through just a straight, let's just sit down and talk, because that's not necessarily going to make that connection. But I have that kind of conversation. If I see a video through TikTok, I'll send it to them, right? I'll send it to them and like, hey, you know, what are your thoughts on this? Or if there's a music video, hey, what are your thoughts on this? So sitting down and helping him process and letting him know that your opinion, your perspective is just as valid. And if you were in a position to contribute to a solution, you know, what would you say? What would you do, et cetera? So as parents, I think it is absolutely vital to not assume how our children feel, engage dialogue, and to affirm, really, really affirm their, even if you disagree with it, right? Because you're teaching them that that people, I don't have to agree with your perspective to affirm your perspective. And so we as parents, we need to be in a place where we can affirm our children's voice, and we can affirm that their voice is authentic, just as our voice is authentic. And where we feel that our children need more information, right, then we can provide that sense of more information. So that's what's been helpful for me. But to give our children moments and give our children space and time to talk about their anger, to talk about their frustration, and what are creative ways in which that we can get that anger and that frustration and that frustration out. And we have Stephen Covey talks about not to prioritize your schedule, but to schedule your priority.
Yeah.
And I understand that parents are busy. Trust me, a black man understands that you're busy and that you have work and that you have chores and you have this and you have that to do. But we have to be intentional on scheduling our children as the priority and understand the perspective in which that they're coming from, so that we can build around them so that they can have a safe space, not only in their friends, not only in social media, not only on Call of Duty while they're playing online and
right.
they talk about types of things, right? But yes, Colin, let's get on. Let's play Call of Duty together. Even though you're gonna kill me just like that, I get it, right? But let's yeah. get on Call of Duty and let's chat, right? And so that's been helpful. Now that takes time away from other things that I need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I say that my son and my daughter, if I say that they are a priority, then they need to see, they need to feel, not just hear, but they need to see and feel that they are a priority by how I demonstrate my love towards them.
Mm, that's so beautiful. As we close today, all of what you're saying is so amazing. And I would like to ask you to please tell us where we can find you and connect with you and how we can be part of what you're doing in this world.
Yes, I appreciate that. So my wife and I, we have been privileged to pastor the Advent United Church of Christ Church. It's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Our address is 2303 North Cassidy Avenue in Columbus. We are right down the street from the East End, right around the corner from the airport. And at this time, although we are in talks of reopening, at this time we are not having in-person worship. We are still waiting for the majority of the congregation to become vaccinated. But we are every Sunday morning at 10:15. We do have Facebook Live service, so you can go to the Advent United Church of Christ Church Facebook page as well. Our website is www.adventucc.org. If you wanted to follow me on Facebook, you can reach me at Colin A. Jones. That's Colin A. as well, so my middle name, and Jones. So social media, Instagram is CADAIR68 on Instagram. So those are some ways that you can reach out. If you wanted to email me, you can email me at Rev Colin, that's R-E-V, Colin at AdventUCC.org.
We really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much. Thank you for having this conversation with us today.
It is truly my honor and privilege, and I'm grateful that you have the platform to impart life into the community. You have the power of life in your tongue, and you do eat the fruits of it, and you are making an impact that will never be erased. And so I want to continue to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, because whatever your mind can conceive and believe, your mind can achieve. And what you are doing is evident of what you have believed about yourself and the impact that you want to make. And I pray that God will continue to just expand your territory, not just for your benefit, even though you will benefit from it, but ultimately for the benefit of the community that you are serving. So God bless you, and thank you again for this opportunity, and I hope that we can be in dialogue again soon.
Oh, me too. Amen. I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you for that great blessing for me, for this show, and for all our friends who listen. We love you, and God truly does too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave you.
She is silent. She's getting old. She's Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the war forgets.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.